Lord, we just come before you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this time together in fellowship. Lord, thank you that you teach us by your Spirit. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, Lord, that you would soften hearts to receive your word today. Lord, that you would pour out your gifts of teaching, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth would be yours, Lord, not my own. Lord, that you would use me to bring the message that you wish to bring to the people, Lord. And Lord, just prepare our hearts to receive your message that comes from you and by your Spirit. And we thank you that you are the teacher, and that you're the comforter, and that you come alongside. And Lord, just ask that you would be the one that does that, Lord. If there are any unbelievers who listen to this message, Lord, that their hearts would be softened to receive and to believe and receive the truth, Lord, that they would receive you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, just ask that you would be glorified through this time together in worship through your word today. And we thank you and we praise you and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So on the website, it shows we're in Acts chapter 2 today, but I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians at verse 10. So you can kind of, if you want to keep your finger in Acts 2, or it's not too far away from there, you can always turn back. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. I like that sound of the pages turning, so. All right, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring down to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish wisdom of this world? Made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But in him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I beseech you that you approach the word of God with a soft heart, humbled, ready to receive that which he wishes you to know and to understand. He desires to share with you only good things. He's a loving father. He's full of all these good gifts. He has all these things to give and to bestow upon you. And if you're here in prayer this morning, then you would know this goes right along with that. And I didn't talk to those that were here in prayer this morning. They didn't know what I was preaching on. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Because in the Spirit, it was Paul had exhortation on receiving that which the Lord desires to give to his children, to be able to receive these things. So we have to have that open heart yielded. He's full of kindness. He's full of tender mercies. He just seek his face, seek his truth, seek his love, seek his temperament, seek his grace, seek him. He desires intimate fellowship with each one of us. We're all His. So if you've been bought with that precious blood of Jesus, then you're His, and He desires that intimacy, that closeness, that fellowship, that oneness with you. And He reveals Himself through the Word. All the Word. So every bit of it, to be able to take this and every bit of it to allow the Holy Spirit to give you that wisdom and understanding to teach you as we study. So He's revealed Himself through this Word. And then back in Acts in chapter 17, and Paul and Silas went to Thessalonica to minister the gospel. And some of the Jews believed, along with, it looked like many of the Greeks, and others of the Jews became jealous, so there was an uproar. So, of course, this happens, persecution, and then they were to move on. But with persecution, then that brought spreading of the gospel. So here they go, and they're in Berea, and in Acts 17 and verse 10 it says, "The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded or noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. If you approach the scriptures with a humble heart and you ask the Lord to reveal the whole truth and nothing but the truth to you, He will." So whatever vessel He has up here teaching the Word of God, they should be full of the Spirit to teach the Word, but the Holy Spirit will teach you individually. Every one of us will get a different teaching today. It's amazing. I mean, I've watched the Lord do this and talk to other brothers, and they get one thing. I'm like, whoa, I didn't even see that. Or, you know, be able to share that with each other. And He expects us to come and approach the Scriptures. Okay, Lord, just teach me, show me. Show me, give me understanding. Help me to get this. All right, so back in Acts and chapter 2. In verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And one accord kept sticking out to me, and I looked that word up, and it's literally with one mind, one passion, one accord. It's a unique word. It's only used 12 times, it looked like, in the New Testament. And of those 12, 10 of them were in the Acts of the Apostles. So this is the early days of the church. And it's a compound word, homothemadon, which means to rush along in unison. To rush along in unison. And, you know, I'm a musician. In unison, when musicians are playing together in unison, if everybody's perfectly in tune and they're playing together, it's a beautiful thing. And we, if we're together in one accord, the only way that we can all together as individual musicians be led by the Master, who's the Master? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, is to be of one accord. And how do we do that? Well, by the Holy Spirit. So He pours out His Spirit upon us, and we receive the Spirit, and we can be one in the Spirit. We can love as the Spirit's called us to love. We can live as He's called us to live. He's given us everything we need to live this life of godliness. We can't say, oh, I'm in this fallen world. No, He'll give us exactly what we need. We got to come before Him humbly, seeking that out, searching the Scriptures out daily. So, unanimously, with one mind, they came together. And here they are. And in verse 2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat on each one of them." So these, it's like that division, like those tongues going out to each one, every single one individually. "And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance," other languages. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." So, you know, you could think of this situation, and you have all these different nations under the sun, and all these languages going on. I'm sorry, but when I'm in a place and a bunch of languages are being spoken at once, I can't understand what the words are being. This is supernatural. They all heard in their own language. Each person heard individually. So just imagine all these different languages, okay, the Holy Spirit's poured out, and they're praising God in these languages, and every man heard in their own tongue. And they were amazed, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia," this is in verse 9, "and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." Tongues are for a sign to unbelievers. Okay? Now, they're also for our prayer closet, our personal time and praise to the Lord. Yeah. But it's a sign to the unbelievers. Their hearts, those that heard, their hearts were open to receive. But there's two sides to it. In verse 12, it says, "They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, 'What meaneth this?' Yet there's the mockers." Verse 13, "Others mocking said, 'These men are full of new wine.'" So the Lord would ask, which group do you belong to? Is your heart soft to receive the things of God? Or is it hardened toward the things of God? When you're confronted with the truth, do you write it off as foolishness? "Oh, these men are full of new wine." You know, I used to be that one. "Those people are crazy. What are they doing?" I was the scoffer. And I don't know how, but by God's grace, the Lord saved me. I don't know how he did it. It's supernatural. He's a supernatural God. That our hearts would be softened to be able to receive the truth. And they're saying these men are full of new wine. But we, if we choose to humble ourselves, we can search these things out in the scriptures. So just as the Bereans, we can search these things out. We are so blessed in this country. I mean, how many of us have Bibles a galore? There's other countries that just hope to get a page or two or some. But we've got the Word of God, and he's given it to us. And the Lord's asked us to take the time to search these things out. So we have the scriptures. And then you pray and you ask the Lord, "Hey, will you give me understanding?" And he will. So you seek him out and he'll give you that understanding. In verse 14, here we have Peter. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'Yea, men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day.'" But this is like in the morning. "But this is what which was spoken by the prophet Joel. 'And it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.'" This leaves no one out. We have the servants, the handmaidens, the sons, the daughters. This is everyone. He says, "I will pour out my spirit." The Holy Spirit is for each one of us. The Holy Spirit's for you today. The Holy Spirit's for all of us. It's the promise of which Jesus spoke. And he said, "You will do greater things than these." How do we do those greater things? Because he sends his Holy Spirit. And it's greater as in more. Jesus being fully God and fully man, as man could only be in one place at a time, yet he knew he had to go to the Father, and the promise of the Father could come, the Holy Spirit, so then he could pour his Spirit out. That's the cloven tongues, for it to go out to each one of us, that we might be filled with his Spirit, that we might be that light, that we might go out and be that light to others. He's called us to be that light, to shine that light, to shine and burn brightly. If we stifle or we cover up that, then others won't see Jesus. They'll see us. In Acts chapter 1, if you go back just to chapter 1 and verse 4, this is the promise which he spoke about. He said, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." And these are words in red here. This is Jesus talking. "But wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have received of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put into his own power. But, verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So how are we to be those witnesses? Well, to receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. King James says Holy Ghost. Your Bible might say Holy Spirit. We know it's the same thing. It's the Lord's Spirit. It's Him. So, you know, before the Lord brought me here, and that's and some of you, most of you heard my testimony, but the Lord woke me up and said, go to Calvary Chapel, Fargo. And it's just and I just heard His spirit, I just heard His voice in my spirit. And I, you know, and it was a long, it took a bit to get me here. Let's just put it that way. I was like, Lord, I don't know where that is, and my own rebellious self. But by God's grace, He brought me here. I mean, He's a God. He will go after. He left the 99 to get the one. And, you know, I had so many different doctrines and teachings that I had been filled up with that I didn't really know. What is this? What is this Holy Spirit? I didn't really know what to believe. You know, the Lord says, go to Calvary Chapel, Fargo. Okay, well, so I make it through the door. By God's grace, we made it through the front door, and we got here, and the whole family got here, and that's God's grace, too, because for Emily to be like, okay, yeah, well, if the Holy Spirit told you, you better go. You know, this my wife, she and I, before this, you know, she grew up in a different church where, you know, they kind of cessationists and the Holy Spirit doesn't talk and blah, blah, blah. But I digress. So where am I going? She said, well, if the Holy Spirit told you, don't you think we should go there? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Wisdom comes from my wife, yes. So before the Lord brought us here, I didn't know what to believe. And I come in here and I'm like, Lord, where's the moving of your Holy Spirit? And I didn't realize it was just literally right under my nose. He was working on my heart. And I'm going to speak to you from the heart today. This isn't the way I thought this was going to go. You know, Seth asked me to cover today, and it's 2:22. And I'm praying, Lord, okay, 2:22, it's Acts, miracles, signs, and wonders. So that's where I go. Lord, what do you want me to teach? Well, Acts chapter 2. Okay, Lord. And then as I'm going through it, it's nothing like what I thought it'd be. But that's the Holy Spirit. So He has a message for you today. This is from the Lord. So He tells me to come here, and He's doing a work in me. He's doing a work in my family. He showed me, son, hey, you don't have all these things figured out. You don't know everything. You think you know it all. You think you got it all figured out. I thought a Spirit-filled church meant, you know, hey, people were running. We used to do laps, you know, and they would do the laps, you know, you get in the Holy Ghost fire, and then, you know, and everybody's praying in tongues all at once, and we're praising God in tongues all at once, and then randomly sister so-and-so would prophesy, you know, just stand up, and, well, that's, you know, that's Spirit-filled church. And it was like, well, you know, if you've read Chuck Smith's book on Charismania, you know, it's Charisma versus Charismania, good book to read. It will go through that, and Chuck will talk about his past and in the Pentecostal church and you know, and whoever that's for, you know. But the point is that the Lord was doing a work in my heart to show me that, hey, this is the way that I desire things to be. He said, son, just come sit at my feet. Just come learn from me. To turn off the TV or the iPhone or whatever, right? And to just learn from Him. And so I come here and I'm just and we have a pastor that diligently teaches from the Word of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And he truly loves the sheep. He truly feeds the sheep. I hadn't seen that before. I've been a lot of places, guys. I've been in all kinds of different churches, all kinds of, and yet the Lord brought me here. And what did he want to show me? He wanted to show me the more excellent way. So all I thought the Holy Spirit was the manifestation of the tongues and the all these things. But what the Lord was wanting to show me was that agape, the more excellent way. You know, I'd read 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. I think I even memorized it at some point when I was a child, but I didn't really get it to really understand what that is. I didn't have that experiential knowledge. But you know, and Pastor Chuck says this, you know, ministry's caught and not taught. Well, yeah, a lot of these things are caught. You got to surround yourself with people that are full of the Word of God and surround yourself with people that are full of the Holy Spirit and be around those that steel sharpens steel. So I was confronted with a lot of things. A lot of things that are contrary to my own beliefs. I'd be driving the truck, you know, and I was a teacher by profession for years, and then here I am, and COVID hits, and I tell him, I'm going to get my Class A. I'm going to go drive truck. Because I have no skill set. I'm a musician. Nobody cares about musicians. You know, whatever. Whatever. Anyway, to get to the point, and so I'm driving the truck, and that kind of became like a just a little prayer chapel. And I'm like, Lord, will you just show me the truth? I have... This is falling off. Sorry. So I was confronted with a lot of things, and then I'm just praying, Lord, will you show me the truth? I just want to know the truth. What's right? All these different opinions. And I'm listening as I'm driving the truck to all these different preachers and teachers and all these things, and I'm just like, Lord, I just want to know the truth. And you know, one Sunday I was sitting back there, and one of the sisters takes a little folded up little notebook piece of paper and, yeah, I have a word for you. Well, this wasn't the way I'd understood the prophecy, you know, like it's, so I look at it and it's just a little short, simple prophecy, but it spoke to my heart, and the Lord used that to speak to me. And he said, forsake that which you've learned and come and learn from me. He was inviting me to be his disciple. That's what he desires. He desires us to be his disciples. Not, I follow Apollo or Apollos, or I follow Seth, right? But Jesus, who do you follow? Who's your teacher? So our pastor, he is called. He's a called man, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he loves us so much, and he feeds us so well. And he's such an example. He is an example for the flock, because he knows that he goes and he's under Jesus, the chief shepherd. And he desires each one of us to be disciples of Jesus. So Jesus shows the more excellent way, and he teaches us, and he gives us these gifts to be able to live this way. And he just says, whose disciple are you? Have you chosen to be the disciple of Jesus Christ? It's a choice you have to make in your heart that I want to know, Jesus, I want to follow you. You are the only way. Or would you rather be, you know, things that appeal to the senses, the intellect, all those other things? You know, I thought I was listening to all these spirit-filled preachers, and it finally just all started sewing together. I started looking at it, it's like every single one, there's going to be, at some point, they're going to start asking for money. So when the Lord started, I started saying, Lord, what's the truth? He started saying, well, if they're preaching faith, yet they don't have enough faith to believe in me, that I'm going to provide for them, that they have to beg you for your money, then it's probably not the truth. And so he starts discipling me and all these things, and just step by step, right? And here I am, and he puts me under a pastor that would take the time, and even in all the false doctrines and all the things that I had wrong, that was long-suffering and would sit down with me and open up the scriptures. If there's something that Seth preaches or that he teaches on, you can know, and you can, I can guarantee you, he has spent time with the Lord. He has spent time in prayer. And if you don't understand or you have a contention with that, then go talk to him. He loves you. If there's something that he teaches on that you're like, oh, that's just, it's just wrong. There was a lot of times I had that happen. And then I could go talk to him. Hey, and he'd open up and he'd show me. Let's look at the scriptures. That's how much he loves us. That he'll take that. I mean, how many places did I go? The pastor was in one place and all the laymen are somewhere else. That's not how it is here. So if there's something that is against your whatever, your beliefs, talk to him. He'll take the time to show you in the Word. Just talk to him. So, you know, the Lord baptized me in the Holy Spirit. I was probably in my 20s. I mean, and I received him as Lord and Savior. He said, repent, come unto me and be baptized. And okay, Lord, yeah, I did. And then right after laying on hands, I didn't even understand what that was. We're going to lay hands on you and you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay. You know, if that's what it says, you know, the Bible says, okay. And I quickly got, you know, I didn't have time. I wasn't discipled. I wasn't really fed the Word of God. It was like, hey, let's get you saved and let's get you baptized and scoot on your way, right? And then what happens is there's all, we're in this world that, wow, there's so many things that can pull us away. And I wasn't properly fed. I wasn't nourished the Word of God. I wasn't reading the Word of God daily. And I was distracted with the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all the things. Yet through that, somehow, Jesus kept me. Because he put a seal. He puts a seal on us. And maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you're watching right now and you're a backslidden Christian. And the devil's lying to you. And he's saying, oh, there's no hope for you. You're never going to be able to come back to the Lord. You really want to live that life? Well, that's a lie. Because Jesus loves you so much that he will leave the 99 to go and to get the one. And he's saying, son, come back. Come be with me. Come be in the fold. It's good here. Come be close. Draw close to me. I will teach you. He will give you everything you need. So, he brings me here. He starts filling me with his Word. The Word of God's taught here, line upon line, precept upon precept, week after week. And Seth said, just stick around. There are so many times that I was tempted to leave. And we did at one point. All you sick folk. No, that was my reasoning. Never got sick, taught in public schools, over 500 children in the schoolhouse, you know, and you build up this immune system of steel, and then you go to the church, and Satan's like, hey, let's see what happens here, you know? You know, and then Jesus is like, oh, it's all right, I got this, you know? So we leave, and he go to all these other places, dead church, Lord help us, so dead. And I mean, pray for the churches, you know, because God showed me through that. Dead church. And he's like, son, I never called you away from there. My 5-year-old or whatever her age was at the time, Cece. Daddy, don't you think we're just supposed to go to that little church? Yes, Cecilia, the Lord already told me that. Thank you. Out of the mouth of babes, right? So the Lord, he can use anyone. And I'm not preaching the church, guys. That's not what I'm preaching. Jesus just wants you to come sit at his feet. This is where he brought me. It's wherever he brings you to be able to go and to sit at his feet. And he has places everywhere. It's not just here. This is just where he brought me. We'll get back to Acts eventually. So God wants us to operate in the fullness of all that he created us to be. And he desires us to be one with Jesus and the Father. As Jesus and the Father are one, he desires us to be one. And his prayer, if you go to John 17, and you can go there if you want, or scroll there, or however you do it on your device. I'm old school. Jesus says in verse 20 of John 17, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Oh, so that means us too. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you love me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So the Holy Spirit's not just some force or some entity. He's a person. He and Jesus and the Father, they're one, and the Father desires us to commune with him and to know him, and he's given us the promise of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 9, it says, And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Yeah, that's one of those verses you find at Hobby Lobby or on the wall. But take a minute and allow the Lord to minister to you in that, right? Because I had a lot of those verses growing up. You know, I knew them, but I didn't really know them here. So that knowledge here wasn't the heart knowledge. So you got to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Lord, show me. And then verse 10, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If you have fear, it's not from God. The scriptures tell us to fear God. That's that reverential and obedient fear. But if you have fear of the Holy Spirit, it's not from God. Satan is so afraid of you being spirit-filled, he will throw everything at you to walk in the flesh instead of to walk in the spirit life. He will do whatever he can to pull you off of that. He will use lies, false doctrines, false teachings, all the things. But if you just take the time, search out the scriptures, just as the Bereans, Lord, show me the truth, then he'll show you. I desire for you to be filled with my spirit, is what the Lord would say. And he's going to give that Holy Spirit to those who ask. He's not going to give us something, well, I don't want to be like those people, right, running around the church like they're on fire. Well, no. Because you know what? That's charismania. But being full of the Holy Spirit, that charisma, that means that we have the power to go out and to share the good news. That means we have the power to withstand when the enemy is right there. And we can withstand because we're full of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that came upon Christ. And the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. That epi upon, but also within us. How did he make the way? Well, the blood of Jesus. So when you receive Jesus and you're cleansed from all unrighteousness and you're made righteous, then you can become a temple of the Holy Spirit. That is supernatural. That's an amazing thing. It doesn't make you kooky. Okay, it makes you alive. That's true life. It's in him. So in Isaiah 11, he prophesies, it says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. This is starting in verse 1. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. So we're talking here, this is Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So this is the Spirit of God. It's everything. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. So if we seek him and we truly long to know the truth, or truly we really want to know the truth, he will teach us by his Spirit. He will show us in his word. He's so long-suffering. He's so patient. You know, he is that. When you go to Corinthians 13, that's Jesus. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is long-suffering. And how can we live that way? Well, we've got to receive him. All right, back to Acts 2. We're in verse 19. I told you we'd get there eventually. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. So those that would say, oh, this was a different time, no, we're still in the end times, okay? So we're not to this point yet. So the Holy Spirit is for us today. The Holy Spirit's been for us. It's the restrainer, the Holy Spirit in each one of us, yes. Yet we're also called to be baptized, to be filled with that Holy Spirit and fire. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So whoever shall call on the name of the Lord, it's open to anyone. All the false doctrines that say, well, it's just for those elect, those ones that God's chosen, that is not scriptural. Take the time to search out the Word of God, right? Because I was taught all these things. And when you go and you look at the full counsel of the Word of God, you see, oh, this was God's plan. Because God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe, right? It's whosoever, anyone. We have to make the choice to believe, to receive. So when you choose, it's this by implication, you're invoking this when you call upon. Lord, I need you. Can't do this without you. To realize it's an appeal. Realizing I am full of sin. There's no good in me. Realizing that the only way to move on is to receive His righteousness. That He chooses, that He's laid down His life to give for us that we might come close to God. That He made the way that we could come close, that we could know Him, that we could know the Lord, that we could fellowship with Him. So made righteous, choosing to receive the Lord, He makes us righteous. His blood speaks better things in our behalf. Okay. In verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs. So that's the 2:22 I was talking about. Which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So the Lord did these miracles, signs, and wonders in the midst of them. So some people say, oh, well, if we could just do a miracle, if there'd just be a healing, then they would believe. Not necessarily. It's a heart issue. So people think, well, why don't we have all these manifestations? You know, if we could just do these signs, do these wonders, do these miracles, do these healings, whatever that is. No, it's a heart issue. Really, the prayer needs to be, Lord, bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you have someone in your life that's a non-believer, you pray, Lord, bring that conviction in their life for the sin of unbelief. Because that's the only unforgivable sin. So if they would be so convicted that they have that sin of unbelief, then perhaps, just perhaps, maybe they would hear the gospel and receive. So the way you're praying, you got to pray that the Lord would bring that. It's His Holy Spirit who brings that. In verse 22, it says, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. David believed. He chose to believe what the Lord told him. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And verse 33, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He died for all. We all crucified him. Yet, his love was so great that he bore all the sin and the shame. Perfectly, perfectly God, fully man, lived that life in our place. And he desires us to receive that, the fullness of life, which he desires for us to have, because he laid it all down for us. And he's saying, won't you come and go with me? Won't you sit at my feet? Won't you take the time to just let me teach you, to let me minister to you? He came and he washed the feet. And then he comes and he washes our feet. And then guess what? He has us go and wash other people's feet. And then we can do that for each other. But if we don't take the time to sit at his feet and to receive from Jesus, then we have nothing else to give. This goes along with prayer from this morning, to be able to go to the Lord and to receive, and then to go out and to give that out, and then to come back to the Lord. And you continually come back. Every man, woman, and child, it doesn't matter how old you are. You think your children can't receive the Holy Ghost? That's not true. He desires that for all that would believe. If your children ever believed and received the grace of Jesus Christ, that they're saved, then why not? Why would they not be baptized in the Holy Spirit? So, I mean, I laid hands on my kids. You know, we're to raise them up in the ways and admonition of the Lord. They need it. They need the Holy Spirit. Have you seen this world? I teach in the public school. I'm back in the schools again, guys. The stuff I see on a daily basis, God help us. We need more Spirit-filled believers in the world. We need those lights, all those lights that go out, and every little shining light. That's that. Those little flames. So as the baptism of the Holy Spirit goes out, and it's those cloven tongues. So that's to be ignited over each one of us, and we're all to be that, and to go out in the world, and then to keep coming back. So we don't want to be the virgins that don't have the oil. We keep coming back to the foot of Jesus and receiving. And that oil is the Holy Spirit. And yeah, we leak and we go out and we minister, but we come back to him and he ministers to us. And it's a beautiful process. And the more time you spend sitting at his feet, then the more you get to know him. And the more peace you have, the more comfort you have. Through every trial, through every test, through every tribulation, you can know, my God knows me better than I know myself. Yes, we'll have trials. Yes, we'll have tribulations. Yes, we'll have hard times. Yes, there'll be persecutions. Yes, there'll be sufferings. And he's invited us into that, that we would have a fellowship in the suffering. That no other God's like that. It proves that Jesus is Lord. It's proof. If you just spend a little bit of time in this book, the conclusion is Jesus Christ is Lord. It's very simple. I lost my spot. All right. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. For the promise is unto you, and unto your children, and unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that promise is to all that would receive. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, well, we believed. And we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the promise that's of the Father. So if we're born again and we haven't received the Holy Spirit, well, it's time for you to not lean on your own understanding and be like, hey, I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We'll lay hands on you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray that the Lord will fill you with his Holy Spirit. And guess what? It doesn't have to be anything crazy. It's just a filling of the Holy Spirit to be able to be full of him, to be full of his love. Do you love as you should? I didn't. I still don't, but I do more now. I couldn't cry. I got to a point in my life where I could not cry. I had so much anger and resentment and fear, all these things that the enemy put in me, even after being born again, when I was backslidden as a Christian. And the Lord came and he said, hey, he said, how's this going for you? Lord, you know. And it wasn't going well at all. And he said, okay, are you willing to learn from me? Lord, you know. And just so many times, Lord, you know. And he would ask me these questions. And he said, okay, now I want you to confess this sin. And I would and he went down the list, and I would confess the sin, and then he'd deliver me. I was on 3 different medications from the world, the pharmakeia, the antidepressants, the anti-anxiety, all the stuff that the world prescribes to get you not to feel. And it's all it is, it's a ploy. It's a ploy from the enemy. And I'm going to tell you right now that the only healing, the only power is in the power of God. And he desires for you to be set free. He came to set the captives free. We are captive. We are captive by our own will. We are captive by our own thoughts. We are captive by our own minds, our own imaginations. And the Lord's saying, cast those down now and come to me. I desire for you to come to me, to receive my spirit, to receive my life, to receive my love, to receive everything that I wish to give you. And in one night, he delivered me, guys. One night, ask my wife. 3 medications, no more. Threw it all away in one night. That does not happen. He supernaturally set me free. Every bit of it and the weight, I felt it go off of me. He'd say, now, the anxiety, I renounce this, Lord, and pray for forgiveness, and that would go off. The depression, the heaviness, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Then we can praise God for how good he is. Because he desires for us to come to him, to look up, to know that the only hope is in him. There is no hope. No other hope in the world is what I'm trying to say. The only hope is in Jesus. It's in Jesus Christ. Yes, now I'm that person, the one that I used to think, those people are crazy. Now that's what he made me. Yeah, he did it. And it doesn't make any sense in my own mind. It makes no sense. But this is the power of God. This is the Holy Spirit. He's given me this message for you today. I've spent weeks on this, and I've cried, and I've spent time, Lord, what do I say? What do you want the people to hear? This isn't from me, guys. This isn't me preaching Matthew Huckabee. This is Jesus Christ. And he desires for us to be set free. If you're still a believer, and you still have sins that are holding you back from the fullness of what God has, come, and we will pray for you. There is hope in him. He will set you free. Now I'm getting Southern with it. That's, you know, I was determined I'm going to do the way Seth wants me to do this. But this is from the Lord, okay? You know, and that he will set you free. He came to set the captives free. We are to be free. We are to be a joyful people. If we aren't a joyful people, then come sit at his feet to be full of him. That means too much of ourselves in the way. When I'm not joyful, when I'm not thankful, when I'm not grateful, that means I'm thinking of me, myself, and I. But if I just take the time and I see past the end of my own nose, and okay, Lord, what do you have for me? To have you guys on my heart. All of you. You know, and I'm looking around and it's like you're in different places than when I prayed for you. Why did you guys move? No, but like Seth, I mean, that's what I did like Seth, you know, like go down, they sit here, and I get it. It makes it easier for my mind, right? But what is that the Lord would put that there? It's not me. It's him. And then he invites us into his work. He's saying, will you come and will you dine with me? Will you sup with me? Will you come be with me? Will you sit at my feet? That's all he desires. And he will fill you with his love. He will fill you. It will be like I used to not cry. And now every time I come in this place, I cry. I cry in the morning. I cry in the night. I cry in the car. You know, and you know what? Like big boys cry. Yep. You know, like we do. And, you know, it's like sometimes, you know, but is it for a good reason, right? Am I crying because, oh, I'm hurt? No. It's that Jesus puts that, he puts those burdens on us, and then we get to share those and have that. And he fills us with his love. And that's a laying your life down kind of love. It's supernatural. Naturally, we don't want to lay our lives down. It's not natural. But we ask him, Lord, fill me with your spirit to do all that which you created me to do, to be all that which you created me to be. And he will. He does. The promise, it's here. It's all right here. Acts chapter 2, go back, read through it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, Lord, I don't understand this. Will you just show me? All right? And take the time. Pray through it. Pray, read, pray. It's very simple. And you can say, I don't have time for that. I'm so busy. I got all this. You know what? Make the time. Lord, give me the grace to find the time. He will. He started getting me up really early in the morning when I was driving a truck, but that was just how it was for me. It might be different for you, whatever that is. And then you know what? You will love that fellowship so much you'll look forward to it. Well, I probably got to finish this thing out. All right. In Acts chapter 17, we have an account where Paul was in Ephesus, and he met some of the disciples, and they had not heard of the Holy Ghost. It says, it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, unto what then are you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. It's pretty simple just to believe. But the hard heart is what gets in the way. And if your heart's so hard that you're like, I just can't do it, then you just ask the Lord, change my heart. It's that simple. It's a simple prayer. And he will. Like, I asked him to give me a new heart. And me being up here right now shows he gave me a new heart. Because I would have been so selfish before, I would not have been standing up here. This is what God's put in me. So it's his Holy Spirit and the work that he desires to do in each one of you. And when Paul, where was I? Okay. Verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Okay? So believe, baptize in Jesus, baptize in the Holy Spirit. Pretty simple. Verse 40, back to Acts 2. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So, if you're hearing the message, online, wherever, if you're here, and you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, for like you've been in church all these years and you don't remember if you've ever done that, well, okay, we can pray. It's simple. It's a simple prayer. No problem. Come see me. We'll pray with you. Em and I will pray with you. We want to pray with you. Okay? So, repent. The sin of unbelief, that's the only thing that holds you back from the kingdom. So if we repent and we believe and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, okay, then we can be saved. We can be set free. He came to set the captives free. And then we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us that power to live the life that Christ called us to live. He lived that life which God desired for us to live, yet Adam, the original man, sinned. And so all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Every one of us has sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There's no merit, nothing we can do, nothing we can do to gain it. Can't do all these works to gain our salvation. It's just to believe. It's very simple. And Lord's saying, just believe. And you can say that prayer. You can say it right in your living room if you're listening online. You can say that prayer. Lord, I choose to believe that you are Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to give your life to him. He'll fill you with his Spirit if you ask. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. That's the eternal life that you choose. But if you choose not to believe, then you choose eternal separation from God. What a horrible place to be in. To be in a place that God never created for us to be in. That was created for Satan exalted himself, tried to exalt himself above God. He had to be cast out of heaven. And a third of the angels with him. That was prepared for them. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him shall have everlasting, forever life. Everlasting, not eternal separation from God. I plead with you, just make the choice to believe. It's a choice. It's an act of will. Verse 41 says, did I already read that? I can't remember, guys. All right, then they gladly received the word, his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. this same Peter that at one point denied Christ, okay, the Lord said, he tells the Lord, I'll never deny you. Well, before the rooster crows, you know, you'll deny me thrice. And guess what? He did. Not long after he said he would never do that, right? But Jesus said, I've prayed for you. He prayed for Peter. He intercedes for us day and night. So he's prayed for us. And here he is, and he receives that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is a sermon. That's a Holy Spirit-filled sermon that he just preached. So it's the Holy Spirit that we need for that dunamis, that dynamite power to go out and to serve, to go out and to love, to go out in the fear of the Lord, to minister to others, to lay our lives down. And he'll give us the grace to do it. He just desires us to come close to him. That's really all that is. And it's a closeness, it's a fellowship. Each one will have it different. You know, I was talking to men last night about how the Lord talks to us all differently. He has so much love, he reaches us each individually. He speaks to us in different ways. You know, yet it's all the same because it's all right here in the Word. So it'll all be founded in this. So you don't have to think, well, what if I believe something? Well, you just go back to here. Go back to the Word. And then verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's what the believers did. They continued steadfastly. And I looked up this word, and I don't, you know, Ben's like, don't get in all the Greek. And you know, but I'm not going to tell you all the Greek, but I'm going to say what it means. It means to be earnest towards, to be constantly diligent, to attend assiduously all the exercises, to adhere closely to, continually. So steadfast. To be able to do that, and we have that here. You can be a part of it. He's invited you into it. All of you are able to be a part of that, to continue steadfastly and to study the Word and to break bread together and to fellowship and to have that love, that koinonia, and it's all by the Spirit, to minister to each other, to wash each other's feet. So if we're full of His Holy Spirit, this kind of becomes natural. And if you're like, I'm so dry, then guess what? He says, come, and he will give you that living water. It flows forth from his life, and then it's to flow forth from all our lives to others. If you're dry, if you're empty, then he's saying, come to me. Come to you all who thirst and drink. He wants you to come to him. We'll pray for you. So after I'm done with the teaching today, I'm here to pray. Em's going to be here to pray. If you're hurting, if you're in pain, if you're whatever, look up. That's all I've got. I've got prayer for you. The Word of God. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, we choose to walk in the Spirit, and we choose to walk in the Spirit, it'll be natural to do this. If our flesh, if we're consumed with satisfying our flesh, that pulls us away from that. The other activities, all the other things that try to distract us, that pulls us away from living that Spirit-led, Spirit-filled life. So Seth told us, be Spirit-led in all ministry. Be Spirit-led in all bodybuilding. Spirit-led, right? Abundant life, abundant church. He's exhorted us time and time again. The only way to do that is to receive that which God desires to give us. We can't say, oh, I'll never be able to do that. Yeah, we won't. It's true. That's right. If we try to do it in our own flesh, in our own power, you know, because there's so many times the Lord will tell me, son, you're striving again. You're doing it again. I'm sorry, Lord. You know, to be able to be humble before him, that we're to humble ourselves in his sight, and then he shall lift us up. So he paid the price. He paid it all. He made the way for us to come close. And if we each day just take that step and we spend that time with the Lord and we spend time in fellowship with him, then step by step, he'll continue teaching us. He'll continue showing us. He'll continue. It's like he just is this master restorer. And, you know, I think of like just those guys who restore like old antique furniture. It's not like this thing that's just done so quickly. He takes his time. He's so diligent and so patient and so kind. And he knows if I tried to put all this on you at once, then you'd just be so overwhelmed. But he just does it step by step. And so you just start there. Don't think, oh, God, I'm never going to be able to do this. No, he's saying, hey, I will show you. Just come learn from me. He desires you to sit at his feet. That's all you got to do. Go for that good part. To go sit at the feet of Jesus. To spend time with him. To study his word. You know, I've got here the song, "Would You Be Free From Your Burden of Sin? There's Power in the Blood." And I had some of these verses earlier in prayer, but there is power in the blood. "Would you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood." There is power in Christ's blood that he shed for all mankind. It is a supernatural sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, spotless without blemish. And then his blood could cover us from all our unrighteousness, that we could come and pray, "Lord, forgive me," and that he would do it and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's spiritual bar soap. 1 John 1:9. So the Lord showed me through his word. He showed me the truth in this in spirit-filled teaching. And step by step and day by day, all those things that I was holding on to that were just wrong, completely wrong, then slowly he just said, "Sons," and it just went off. And then to bring me to the center, and that's the key. So what do we have here? We have the Spirit of God and we have the Word of God. That's Calvary Chapel Fargo. That's why you're here, is to be taught his word, to be fed, to be loved, to be filled with his Holy Spirit, to go out and to minister to others, to share this good news. We don't want to be just some inbred church where, "Oh, we're just all our own people." That's the nepotism word that Jamie had this morning. So if you haven't been in morning prayer much lately, come, guys. Just get up earlier. Ask the Lord to give you the grace to get up and come, because he speaks every week. It always goes right with the sermon. I mean, it's amazing how the Lord does it. It's the Holy Spirit who does this. And she just had a word on that. But the truth is that we're adopted. When we receive Jesus, we're adopted. We're sons, we're daughters of the Most High King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he desires for us to be set free. He desires us to be one with him. In John 16:13, it says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you of the things to come." All right, let's finish this out. Verse 43. "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, and every man had need. And they continually daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So the Lord builds his church. He adds daily. He desires that we be built upon that firm foundation. He's the cornerstone, the chief stone, the chief cornerstone. And then each one of us, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, to be those lively stones. And it says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So our spiritual sacrifices can be acceptable when we've received him. "Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that he believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even of them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." And in this word peculiar, it means his own possession. Yes, I'm peculiar. You guys figured that out pretty quick. And in the way we would say in this day and age, but that peculiar means it's literally God's own possession. That's what the original meaning is. That you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. He will lead and guide us into all truth. All truth, every bit of it, nothing but the truth. And so if we forsake that which we know and we choose to learn from Jesus, he'll show us the way. He's the only way. He will show us. In John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So we can come to him. We can come through him. We can come to the throne boldly because of what he's done for us. If you haven't received him as Lord and Savior, hey, we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. And we can make that happen right now. Make the choice. Choose to believe. If you need prayer for anything, I mean baptism, refilling, baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'll lay hands, we'll pray for you. If you need prayer for anything else, pain, sickness, sorrow, suffering, whatever that is, come to the Lord. He desires to heal you. He desires to set you free. He desires for you to be full of his love, of his truth, of his life. He desires for you to be set apart unto him, to be his peculiar people. We're his. We belong to him. So Lord, we just come before you. We thank you for this time together in the study of your word. We thank you that you teach by your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you transform lives. Lord, just ask that you would continue that transformation in each one of us, Lord, that we would be your people, set apart unto you, Lord, that we'd be full of your love, full of that agape love, to lay down lives, to serve, to minister, Lord, to minister unto you, to sit at your feet and worship you, Lord, to spend that time in fellowship with one another, Lord, in the breaking of bread and prayers and the study. And Lord, I just ask for you to soften hearts. Lord, those hard hearts that just aren't willing to receive your word, Lord, that you would soften them. Lord, that you paid for each one of us. And you love us so much that they would know how much you love them. Lord, that each one of us, that every person that's here and everyone listening online would just know how much you love us, that you are love and you're full of love. And Lord, fill us with your love to love one another. And we thank you, Lord. Ask for more strength, Lord, more grace to serve. Fill each one here today. Bless each person here, each person online, everyone in Israel, Lord. Just pray for you to pour your spirit upon everyone, Lord, to pour out your love. Strengthen, Lord. Lord, that the relationships would be maintained, Lord. Those that aren't here, Lord, if they're hurting, if they're sick, Lord, I just pray for healings, Lord, supernatural, Lord, that they would be able to just fellowship and to dine and to sup with you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Ask that you be magnified and glorified. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.